is about the virtue of the greatest verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this verse is Ayatul Kursi. As we mentioned last time in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved what Ubay ibn Ka'b answered when he said that the greatest verse in the book of Allah is Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Now, in this verse, of course, it is the greatest verse because the meanings in this verse are of the greatest value in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meanings in this verse all regard the issues of faith, and there is nothing more important in our religion than the fundamentals of faith, especially when it comes to our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse starts by declaring the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his worship, the fact that there is no one worthy of being worshipped but him. And this is the meaning of Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, which means that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only true Lord, the only true Master, the only God. So this issue is the gate to Islam. This issue of believing in the oneness of Allah, and that there is no one worthy of being worshipped in any way but him, this is Islam, and this is the only gate to Islam. If someone wants to enter Islam from other than this gate, then he has not entered Islam. If someone, for example, wants to enter Islam from for example, the gates of morals, or the gates of brotherhood, or something like that, he will not be entering Islam. In other words, if he likes those things about Islam, and he accepts Islam as a religion of brotherhood only, without knowing that Islam means that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah, then his entrance to Islam is not an entrance. He has not entered Islam until he knows that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in this word, when we say Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, we are stating two facts. Both of them are necessary for our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first fact is the declaration that Allah is the only one who deserves all forms of worship. And the second part of this word is the fact that we must deny worship to any object or to anything or to anyone other than Allah. And we must deny worship to anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, worship of Allah must be pure, must be worshipping him alone and not worshipping anyone other than him or anyone with him. And then in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two of his qualities, the fact that he is the most living. This is one of his attributes that we must believe in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a life, just like he said about himself in this verse, that he is the most living. His life is the most perfect, is the most complete. His life is such that it does not end. His life is such that it does not have a beginning. He was the first where no one was before him, and he will be the last where no one will be after him. So his life is such that no deficiencies are attributed to it in any way. So when we speak about the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his attributes, we must understand that his life does not resemble our life. he has a life, but his life is different than our lives. Our lives are temporary. Our lives have beginnings. Our life have deficiencies. Our life have short time, temporary. So when we speak of Allah's life, we know that his life is the most perfect and that his life is altogether different from his creatures' lives. Also, the other quality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is self-dependent, that he is in no need of anyone, and that all creatures are dependent upon him alone, that he is most rich of anything. He doesn't need anything in any way, and no one, nothing amongst his creatures can benefit him in any way or harm him in any way, and all creatures are dependent on him alone to stand. So even the heavens and earth and so on, everything is dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its standing and its living and its existing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he does not sleep nor slumber. So in this verse, or in this sentence, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating all deficiencies regarding him. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most perfect means that no deficiency should be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. Injustice is a deficiency, so we cannot attribute this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To create something for no reason is a deficiency. Therefore, we must not describe Allah with such a thing. To order something with no wisdom, this is a deficiency. Therefore, we must glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this and from all deficiencies. So one would not be faithful in Allah until he establishes this great foundation, and that is to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all deficiencies, such as sleeping, such as being tired, such as being unwise, and so on. All those deficiencies and all deficiencies must be negated and must be denied regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from those two attributes, we take a clue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves all the perfect attributes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be glorified from all deficiencies. Then in this verse, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm, lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard. To him belongs all that which is in heavens and all that which is on earth. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one owns anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we own belongs to Allah. And we actually do not own anything. We ourselves are owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we don't own anything. We are owned by Allah, and everything we own is from Allah alone and is owned by Allah alone. This is very important, to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only owner, and that he is the only one who owns to benefit you or to harm you. Therefore, you should believe in no one else that he can independently benefit you or harm you. No one, no matter who he is, whether he is a messenger or a prophet or an angel or a king or whatever, no one can benefit you without the will of Allah and without the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can harm you without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and without his support. This is a very necessary fundamental for our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the true faithful is fearful of Allah alone, and the true faithful is hopeful of Allah alone, and the true faithful is dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that to Him belongs all that which is in heavens and on earth, this shows that He is the Lord and He is the Master. No other Lord, no other Master but Him. Therefore, no one would be a believer in Allah if he believes that there is any other Lord with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is to dare to intercess with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without His permission? Why? Because to Him belongs everything, and intercession belongs to Him alone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in His book, that He is the owner of all intercession. We mentioned in previous topics when we spoke about the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. We said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to intercede, he goes and prostrates under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he stays there and prostrating and praising Allah until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, O Muhammad, raise your head, intercess, and you will be answered. So you find it clear that even our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most honorable slave of Allah, the most honorable messenger, does not dare to intercede by himself, does not dare to say any word except after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, O Muhammad, raise your head and you will be answered. So also regarding the sinners of this nation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for them in the Day of Judgment. But he says that a limit will be set for me, and I will intercede within that limit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will set a limit for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will tell him, intercede within this limit, intercede for those people. So actually, all the intercession belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one can intercede for anyone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not please his action. For example, if someone dies associating any partner with Allah, no one can intercede for him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned it clearly in his book. So this issue of intercession is very important, because as you know that the Arab pagans, when they used to worship idols at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that worship was only because they thought that those idols are intercessors between them and Allah, and they thought that those idols are symbols of pious people who will take their call to Allah. So what they meant is to make those pious people and to make angels as their intercessors to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take their calls to Allah, just like the people nowadays do in many Muslim countries. We find people who claim to be Muslims and fall into the same type of shirk when they go to the graves and when they ask the so-called awliya to intercede for them and to do such and such for them. This is all great shirk, and this will take someone out completely of Islam. And there is no difference between this shirk and that shirk of the Arabs at that time. So in this verse, we must understand the issue of intercession very clear, because it regards the important topic of Tawheed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states very clearly that He knows all things regarding our past, regarding our future, and regarding everything else, all details of all matters, of all issues, whatever we whisper, whatever we think of, whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we believe is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we cannot know anything except after Allah wills for us to know. So all our knowledge comes to us after Allah wills for us to know. And this is very important for us to understand, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all things regarding our actions, all things regarding every matter. This is the first fundamental of our faith in the Qadr, in the divine decree. Because if we don't believe in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most knowledgeable, then our belief in Qadr will be meaningless. But as we mentioned before, that our faith in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must also be coupled with other things, and that is to believe in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have written all things that will happen in the preserved tablet 50,000 years before creating heavens and earth, as we mentioned in the topic of Qadr. And also whatever we do, then we do it only by Allah's will. And if it had not been for His will, we would not be able to do it. Also, the fact that all what we do is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are created by Allah, and our actions are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are responsible for what we do, because we do them due to our desire to do them and due to our ability. And we are responsible for what we do by ourselves, within our freedom and by our ability. So in this verse we stop at this point, and that is the fact about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will continue inshallah next time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We were talking last time about a very important topic of our faith, the fact about the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were speaking of this issue regarding the last part of the Ayat al-Kursi. As you know, that this verse is the greatest verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Imam Muslim in his book here has brought the hadith about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that this is the greatest verse in the book of Allah. We mentioned in the beginning, when we talked about this verse 3 days ago, that this verse is the greatest verse because of the great meanings which it includes. Now we reached the part of the verse, the last part, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Himself that He is the Most High, the Most Great. And we established the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Most High, that means He is above His throne. And we mentioned the verses from the Quran which prove that, which clearly state that. and also the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, don't you trust me, and I have been trusted by the one who is in heaven. Who is in heaven means who is above the throne, above everything. Now, the fact also in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, aren't you aware of the one who is in heaven? Twice in Surah Tabarak. Now, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in heaven means that he is in the highest place. He is high above the throne, and no one is above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it does not mean in any way that the created sky or the created heaven surrounds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No believer can ever think of such a foolish thought, because we know that all those created heavens will be in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are nothing in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one believes that the created heavens surround Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a totally wrong belief. But when we say that he is in heavens, we clearly mean that he is above his throne, as he stated in his book. And of course, his throne is a huge creature which is above all heavens and greater than all heavens. This is our faith in the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we say in our prostration, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, to remind ourselves of this great fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above us. And knowing this, we realize that we are under his watchful eyes and his watchful sight, that we cannot escape his sight no matter where we go. We cannot escape his hearing no matter where we go, and we cannot escape his knowledge no matter where we hide or where we go. We cannot escape his power and ability wherever we go. So this is very important for us to remind ourselves of his highness, the fact that he is above everything. To remind ourselves of his highness will lead to the important fact that we fear him. And fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of our faith in Allah. We must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for us to abide by his orders. Of course, when we abide by his orders, this is not only due to the fact that we fear him, but it is also because when we abide by his orders, we want to gain his love, and we also want to gain reward from him and gain the paradise. So when we abide by Allah's rules, we do this for those three things combined: to gain his love, to gain his reward, and because if we don't do them, we fear his wrath and punishment. So worshipping Allah means all those three things together. Now, also the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Most High means that his attributes are the most perfect, and his attributes are of the best form. In other words, when we speak about Allah's knowledge, we know that his knowledge is the most comprehensive, the most inclusive of all things, the most perfect, that has no deficiency in any way. When we speak about Allah's wisdom, then we know that also. When we speak about Allah's might and power and mercy and knowledge and so on. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Most High, this means that his attributes have reached the highest level. His justice is of the highest form, has reached the highest level, his knowledge has reached the highest level, and so on. This does not mean that his justice was deficient at some time. No, it was in the highest form, in the highest level, since ever, and it will remain to be in the most perfect, in the most highest form, forever. So this is another meaning of the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the third meaning of the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highness in power. The fact that we are his slaves. We have surrendered to him. We are under his power and under his might and under his ability. He does whatever he wills. With us, nothing can stop him from doing anything to us. So the fact that we are under his power and his might, this shows also that his highness is that of his power also. So when we speak about the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must know all those forms of highness. The first one is that he is by himself above his throne, and he is with us wherever we are by his knowledge and by his hearing and by his seeing and by his ability and power. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high in his attributes, he has the most perfect attributes, the most high attributes, and that each of his attributes has the best form and has the highest form. And the fact that he is high by his power, the fact that we are his slaves, we are his creatures, we are under his power and his might. This is the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is the most high. Also, the last word of this verse, Al-Azim, which means the greatest. We should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest, where nothing or no one is greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, when we know, for example, how great is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is so great that all heavens and earth are nothing compared to it, small, then how about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is greater than the throne and greater than everything. And that is why we always remind ourselves of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our prayer. When we make the ruku', we kneel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in humbleness to Allah. We humiliate ourselves to Allah alone, and we humble ourselves to Allah alone in such a manner. We cannot humble ourselves by kneeling to anyone else, because no one deserves this kind of humbleness except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we should be watchful not to follow the action of the people who don't have the right faith in Allah. Some of them humble themselves in kneeling to each other. Of course, to humble yourself for the for your brothers, for the human beings, in a way it is good, but not by kneeling to them, and not by prostrating to them, and not by fearing them in matters which no one can harm you but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to humble yourself to the humans by not harming them or by not disgracing them or by not looking down at them for no just cause. This is the humbleness, of course, that you use with humans. But you cannot kneel to anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot surrender in fear from anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important for the faithful to have this in his heart. And that is why when we kneel in our prayers and we say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, glory be to my Lord, the most great, the greatest, then this should remind us that the greatest is Allah and the only one who deserves to be feared in such a way and respected and loved is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that he is great by his attributes also, the fact that he is the most knowledgeable, the most powerful, and so on. So when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most great, then we are approving of the greatness of his attributes. Now, as you see in this verse, Ayat al-Kursi, there are so many meanings included in this verse. The first and most important meaning was the fact of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is the only one to be worshipped and no one can be worshipped with him, and we cannot associate any partner with him in worship. If we do so, then we are not believing in God and we are not believing in his oneness. And the fact that he has the most perfect attributes, and the fact that no deficiency whatsoever can be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No deficiency to his attributes and no deficiency to himself. The fact that he is the most perfect, the most just, the most powerful, the most merciful, the most wise, the most knowledgeable, and the fact that he does not create anything for no wisdom, or he does not sleep, he does not get tired, he does not have any equal, he does not have any rival, he does not have he does not resemble anyone, he does not have any relation to his creatures, he does not have any relation to any messenger or any angel. This is very important for us to understand, that this is the only right faith from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any faith which equals anyone with Allah in one way or another, then this is the wrong faith, against the faith, the true faith in God. And no faith will be accepted by Allah if it is not according to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the complete uniqueness, and the fact that he is the one and only God, and that nothing resembles him, human, no angel resemble him in any way, no angel or human has any relation to him in any way. This is considered to be a great deficiency and a great insult against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attribute anyone as a relative of his, as a son, as a wife, as a brother, as whatever. So this is considered to be a destruction of faith in Islam, and this is to be considered something which will cancel all our actions. If we have the wrong faith in Allah, then none of our actions will be accepted. After our prayers and our worships will be nothing in the day of judgment, and the result of those who have the wrong faith in God will be that they will be in hellfire forever, and none of their actions will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true owner of everything, and that he is the owner of all intercession. No one can intercede for someone who Allah does not permit for him to be interceded. And also the fact about the kursi, the chair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his throne, and the fact about the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he is high by himself and high by his attributes and high by his power, and the fact or about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. So this verse, as you see, in general includes all the issues of our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a matter of fact, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that no one can intercede with him, that means no angel, no prophet, no one can intercede with him except after he wills. So this of course means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out to the faith in angels and prophets. So in this verse we can say that all the articles of faith are included in it also. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.